Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Raising a Pro. I'm Annie Apple, journalist and NFL mom to my son, Eli Apple. This week is a somber week. This week marks 1 year since we lost Kobe Bryant. A year ago this week, the NBA legend, his 13-year-old daughter, Gigi, and seven others were killed in a helicopter crash. We were all stunned. It seemed like a bad dream that turned into a living nightmare. Today, our prayers continue to be with Kobe's parents, his sisters, his wife Vanessa and their three remaining daughters, and the families of the seven others who lost their lives that day. Our guest today knows all too well about loss and sudden grief. Sherry Shepard, mom of New York Giants star wide receiver Sterling Shepard, lost her husband, former NFL player Derek Shepard, who played with the Washington football team, the New Orleans Saints, and Dallas Cowboys. Sherry became a widow at just 32 years old. With three small children, she had to pull herself and her family together. Sherry and I met in 2016 when our sons were rookies with the New York Giants. We hit it off instantly. Like her son Sterling, Sherry has that big, bright smile that draws you in. And as rookie parents, we just clicked. Sherry is an amazing woman and an amazing friend who has seen her own share of heartache and loss. There is so much to be learned from the journey of Sterling Shepard through the words and wisdom of his mom, Sherry, and the life of his father, Derek Shepard. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. When you met Derek, tell me about that. How did you guys meet?
So we met on college campus at the University of
Oklahoma. What was you wearing? What was you wearing, girl? Where were you walking to? Were you minding your business?
Annie, this was a process. It wasn't a one-time meeting. There were multiple
I know meetings. With you, though, like probably 79 meetings.
There were 79 meetings, and I said, no, you cannot have my phone number. And, you know, I just wouldn't give him my phone number for various reasons. He had a Jerry curl, and I was like, that's so high school. And then the other reason, he was talking to another girl before me at a party, and he was asking for her phone number. And she, I don't know if she gave it to him or not. And then I felt like second choice. Like, I'm not going to be second
choice. With your
choice
Jerry curl.
No. With your Jerry curl. So no, you can't have my phone number. Then he said he saw me in church, but he didn't approach me in church, but he said he saw me in church. Then the final time that I finally caved in and I gave him my number, I was with my girlfriend and he was like eyeing me from across the room. And I said, there's Derek Shepard again. And then that's just it. That's history. Like, we were married 6 months later.
Are you kidding? You went through all of that and 6 months later, you just knew.
Yeah, we were married. It's so funny because I remember we met when I gave him the number in March. And so in February, I'd gone to a friend's wedding and she said, when are you getting married? And I said, I don't have a boyfriend. I don't have any prospects. And I was thinking, that's ridiculous. And then the next month, I give him my number and we were married October.
Get out of here. Now, in full disclosure with the Jerry Crow, tell the people what year was that?
That was 88.
So 88, a lot of majority of African-Americans, male and female, were walking around super wet with Jerry Curl.
Do you think it really in 88? I guess maybe so.
No. I'm just trying to be nice.
Annie.
I think that was the last year of Jerry Curl being acceptable.
Maybe. I just thought it was a past trend and it needed to end. And so I was not, you know, impressed with his Jerry Curl.
So he cut it off, definitely.
He did. And he had the waves in the nice little taper cut. So.
Oh, okay. 6 months later. Wow. What was it that just made him, what made him like the one 6 months later?
It's just so funny because it was really impromptu. I was visiting him in Washington, D.C., and he said, hey, you want to get married today? And I thought, oh, my mom, she's going to be so mad at me because she loves to have events and she doesn't think it happened unless she gets to witness it and she wants a church wedding. We had already put deposits down, but I was very young. Like, and I think about it, I was pretty young. I was like 20, 21. And I thought, if I don't marry him, he's going to think I don't want to marry him. And so I looked at my clock and it was 3 o'clock. And I always teased him because he was directionally challenged. He couldn't find his way around the city. And that was before GPS. Oh. And so there's no way he's going to find his way to the courthouse to get our license and then find the justice of the peace. So I said, it's 3 o'clock and I'm not going to help him with directions in Washington, D.C. We'll see what happens. And so we were married and I thought, man, that was so uneventful. And I just remember walking out and he said, you're my wife now.
So at this point, you were in your senior year and he went to play for the Redskins. Am I correct?
Right. He was at the Redskins. Yeah. And so I had a really light schedule. I think I had classes on Tuesday and Thursday. So then most weekends I would go to Washington and see him and see his games.
Now, how were you at all concerned or had any trepidation about dating a pro athlete?
I didn't, but that's because I didn't think about the physical aspect of it. Like now that I have a child that plays,
it's a lot.
You know, it's dangerous to me. Yeah, it's a lot. And so totally wasn't in tune to that part of it. I mean, I would actually admit that I'm not like a huge football fan. I'm a Sterling Shepard fan, right?
Let them know.
Yeah, I'm not that into football, but everybody thinks that I'm all into football. They want to talk football with me. So especially with my husband playing, I would actually take a book to the games and I would read and not pay much attention to the games. Like, oh, you brought your book? It changes with having a husband versus a son. So I don't think you know the danger that they're in. And so I just wasn't as engaged.
So your husband, Derek, who you married after 6 months in the courthouse, because he found his way to the courthouse.
He peer pressured me, Annie, yes. And I didn't think it was going to happen. I was challenging him, thinking, he is not going to get all these places by 5 o'clock when everything closes.
He made it. So it was meant to be. So he played 5 seasons, right? So it was with the Redskins, the Saints, and the Cowboys. What was that like, though? Did you have to travel to those cities as far as living? Or how did you guys manage that at first?
So Redskins was the first team and I was still in school. So I would just travel and visit him. And then after graduating, he was with the Saints, but it was just a short period of time for maybe 5 months. And he got cut and we went to Dallas and we stayed there for 3 years. And I can remember I was pregnant with her and he said, I really want my baby to be a Texan. I don't want my baby to be born in Louisiana. And the very next day he got cut and we went to Dallas. I said, I wet the tongue.
He did it.
You need to be careful what you speak.
Wow. You know, but you were with the Cowboys for 3 years. So that was good. There was a little bit more stability longer period of time. But tell me about when Sterling came along, though.
So Sterling came along after Derek was done with football. So I had Ashley and, you know, yeah, she was a little baby. She doesn't remember much, but I would take her to the games occasionally. But Sterling, I mean, he missed that whole part of it. So he was really anxious to have a boy first so he could have a boy at the games. And he's like, man, I keep having girls. I want to have a boy, you know, so I can take him down on the field. He sees the other guys with their sons. And I was like, it's coming. You can take the girls on the field.
In the meantime, at what point did Derek decide that he was done with football?
So after the 5th season, I think I was pregnant with Sterling. And that was his last season. And then he had to transition, you know, back into mainstream work. And that was a hard transition. It typically is for an athlete. As much as you talk about it and you think you're prepared for it, lots of athletes, it's hard to get it out of their system. And so the best transition, and I think I was helpful and instrumental in trying to steer him in his life after football, was I was like, you're really great at coaching. I mean, you're always good at coaching me. You're good at identifying talent and knowing who's good at what. And I said, you should be a coach. And so that's what he did. He started in the public school system. And then eventually, you know, he went into college coaching. He was a GA at OU, the University of Oklahoma. And then when he passed, he had just accepted a D1 assistant position at the University of Wyoming.
I'll be right back with Sherry in just a minute, but first, I want to give a shout out to Sakura for supporting this episode. Hey, if any of you mamas out there listening are looking for a clean prenatal and to keep those New Year goals in check by getting your nutrition on point, guess what? Sakura can help. Sakura is a nutrition company that focuses on overall wellness. They provide chef-curated meals that are both nutritious and delicious. And I should know because I have tried them. And trust me, they are chef's kiss, baby. Along with their meals, they also have effective supplements like prenatal, which is a daily supplement pack that contains all the clean essentials you need to support your entire pregnancy journey. They know how hard it can be to find a clean prenatal supplement that is both pure and potent. And so when the two ladies that founded the company surprisingly got pregnant at the same time, they decided to make one. And you lucky people get to enjoy these products at a discount with me. And right now, Sakura is offering our listeners 20% off their first order of the prenatal when they go to Sakura.com/wrap or enter code WRAP at checkout. That's Sakura, Sakura.com/WRAP to get 20% off your first order. Sakura.com/WRAP. Okay, before we get to his passing, it's so important you talked about the transition. And what do you think that part makes it the hardest? Because I know having now, you know, raised a kid and a young man who's still playing the game, that football really takes up their whole time. So what was the most challenging? Was it that, okay, I never really thought about anything outside of football, or I don't know what I'm good at other than football?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of all that. Now with him, I think it'd be different with Sterling because I've experienced it once.
Okay.
And so I think his mind is different than Derek's. Okay. Derek just hadn't thought about it, right? And hadn't even finished school. So he had to go back and finish 12 hours. And I made sure that Sterling finished school in 3.5 years so that when he graduated mid-year, he could spend the last semester preparing for the combine and he wouldn't have to ever worry about going back to school. I thought that was key. And Derek, he was in a different position from Sterling. And so once he got a goal in mind and he thought coaching is it, then he went after it and he pursued it. But the money is the biggest transition. Yeah. I mean, if you play professional ball and you're used to spending at one level and then your income stops suddenly,
drastically,
and you have to transition. Yeah, your income stopped. And your expenses are at one level. So I could see it coming. And I thought, I have to start working. And so I told him when I married him, like, I didn't go to college to live off you. I mean, I'm a professional. I want to be in corporate America. So I started working the year before he stopped working. And that was helpful, you know, just to have somebody with benefits and everything else, because they didn't offer benefits like they do now. They
back in the day, they just gave you some Robitussin and a Band-Aid when you retired.
And it's like,
put some Tussin on it.
Yeah, if you figure it out, you know. And so that, I think, helped smooth the transition is the fact that I was there and I was married to him. And so I did have benefits and he had to go back to school.
So now you have, you know, Sterling's so young. I think he's about 5 years old. You have the girls and you have a full life. Everything's getting normal. He's accepted a assistant coaching position with Wyoming. So tell me about the day he suffered that fatal heart attack. Where were you? How did you hear about it? And what exactly happened?
So it was, I can remember, and he was pretty predictable. It was before either of us had a cell phone. And I talked to him a couple of times during the day. He was having his break on his coaching meetings. And he had told me his day, he was very active and an athlete. So he would go play golf. He played like 9 holes that morning. At lunch, he had run and worked out. And then he told me on his dinner break, he was playing racquetball. And so I told him I was going to a birthday party at my mom's house for my niece. And I was expecting when I got there, he would call me on his dinner break. And I noticed he didn't call me. But I mean, we were having fun and celebrating. The kids were there. My whole family was there, except for my grandmother. And I can remember I'm sitting at a table with my sister, my niece, and my sister's friend. And my mom is approaching me and she's walking towards me. And I could just see like her face was torn up. And she looked like she was talking directly to me. And my thoughts immediately, I thought something's wrong with my grandmother. Then I thought everybody I love is in this house except my husband. She's approaching me. Something obviously happened to my husband. So I stood up and I said, what happened? And she said he had a heart attack. And I immediately thought, you know, he's going to the hospital. He's going to be okay. I didn't think he was dead. And before she even told me that, I thought maybe he had a car wreck. You know, just my mind was racing. And she told me he passed. And all I can remember doing is screaming. And
because he was 35 years old.
He was 35. I was 32. The kids were 3, 6, and 9. And the kids were all playing with their cousins and they were in the living room. And so I don't ever remember telling any of them their dad died. They pieced it together from all the commotion going on in the house and listening to bits and pieces. And yeah, it was just like horrible. At 32, that's not something you expect and not something you prepare for.
So overnight, I can't even remember. You became a single mother, a widow.
I remember thinking my biggest concern this morning, because I had just bought like a new SUV and I wasted gasoline on some trim part and it faded it, right? And so I kept thinking, gosh, Derek, he's going to be mad at me. I got to get this changed out. And I remember thinking that was my biggest problem today. And now my life is turned upside down. And I remember waking up the next morning, even though I probably got 2 hours of sleep. And I can remember waking up and thinking, this is my life, like wanting to go back to sleep because my life seems so horrible. Like you want to think it's a dream and then you wake up and realize, no, this is my life. And so as much as I wanted to stay in bed and sleep, and that was probably the case for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, not wanting to go back to work. And I had to pull myself together because I thought my kids are, they're watching me and I'm modeling the behavior for them and I don't want them to crumble. So I have to be strong and push through it.
So did Derek have underlying health issue? It's just 35 years old, healthy, strong.
He was healthy, strong, and from the outside, I bet he had probably 7 to 9% body fat. He was very fit. And like I said, he was always working out. And that's one of the comments the coaches made. They were in the room with him and they said he looked more fit than anyone in the room. And you would think he was in perfect health. But what he had was, the street term would be athletic heart syndrome. His heart was enlarged from so much exercise.
Oh.
So when your heart's enlarged, your valves don't pump efficiently. Things don't fit anymore. And the adrenaline would just almost throw him into some type of tachycardia, which is an arrhythmia. And his heart just wouldn't beat efficiently. And so he knew this because I think at the end of his NFL career, he started to get a little bit dizzy. And then in racquetball, he would black out. And then we took him, got him figured all out. It took about a year. And they said, you know, this is what it is. And he needs to take some medication. And he was on the medicine. Now, he would tell me, Sherry, if I take the medicine, nothing's going to happen. And so I don't know if he just told me that and he knew better, but, you know, he thought his medicine was a cure-all and he
do the same thing in the same, you know, way he was doing before. Wow. So a few weeks you were just, of course, mourning. At what point did you decide that, you know what, I'm taking the kids to Disney World? What made you finally decide to choose that?
Because I thought, you know, I have to set the tone for the rest of our life. And all kids want to go to Disney World and see Mickey Mouse. And I said, you know what? Your dad wants us to be happy. He wants us to move on. And it's a tragedy. And we're sad that we lost him. But he doesn't want us to be sad forever. This is just a point in time. And so he wants us to be happy. So we're going to go to Disney World and have fun and be happy. And that's the theme for our life.
I was reading where Sterling was little and he came and he sat on your lap and he looked at you. He said, Mom, can you fight? How are you going to protect us? You know, so yeah. Let me ask you, can you fight, Sherry?
You know what, Annie, I got a lot of fight in me. And, you know, I'm real nice to a point. I always tell people I'm very nice and less provoked. I will fight for my children.
Oh, that is so funny. He came up, can you fight? He literally thought that's how you protect.
And it was the day of the funeral. We got home and he was like crying. And he said, Mom, can you fight? Who's going to protect us? I said, you know what? I'm just going to get AT and they'll alert us if someone's coming in the house. That'll help.
Okay, ADT and a bat and a Bible.
And a bat. Amen. And a Bible. We are covered.
A bat and a Bible. That's all you need, honey.
Yes, that's all you need.
In the major leagues and at home.
And it's worked out just fine.
Oh, so with his dad gone now, how were you able to nurture the love of football in Sterling? Or did he just automatically gravitate to the sport?
There was that. He definitely wanted to follow in his footsteps, but he had never played football while Derek was alive. And so that was his first year of like flag football. And Coach Stoops, who was the coach at the University of Oklahoma, and Derek GA'd under him. He actually helped him get the job in Wyoming. He came to the first flag football game and he sat with me in the stands and he said, "Sherry, my dad was a coach." And he said, "I know the life of a coach's son." And he said, "I want him to still have that same experience to be able to go in the locker room and to be able to go on the sideline." And so he opened up practice. He said he can come to any practice. He can come to any game. And so part. He went to every home game until he was too old. You know, I think in ninth grade, you can no longer do that because of NCAA rules. And so he had to stop.
You know, the NCAA rule number 5,339. God only needed 10 commandments to govern the world, but the NCAA got more rules.
And they said, "Do you think we would want to recruit Sterling?" I think so. So Sherry, he can't come to any more games and he can't participate that way. They would let him, you know, go as a recruit. So he didn't have full access like he did as a kid.
So tell me about his high school experience. And when he was ready to go, were you guys just said, you know, it's Oklahoma and that's it? Or did you look at other schools and, you know, how was he recruited?
So it's funny. The first college that made an offer was the rival school in Oklahoma. So it's Oklahoma State University. And that's because he played his state high school like championship game there, right? And that coach was stadium, and Sterling scored all the touchdowns and he was playing quarterback. Like he was running the ball in, not catching the ball. And he was the quarterback and he was playing like out of the shotgun. So he got his first offer and then offers started to roll in. And OU was late to get on board, even though he had a
Really?
Yeah. Like he started getting his first offers. That was like December. And then by February 10th, I think Notre Dame offered. And then that must have gotten their attention because then I got a call and I was at work and they were like, "Hey, can you send us some film? Is it too late?" And I was like, "No, it's never too late. We've been waiting for you to get on board." And so he got his offer and he accepted before his senior year. And he loved OU and he ultimately wanted to go there. But you know how they hype up those recruiting trips. And he's like,
"Yeah,
you're not going to let me go on recruiting trips." I said, "You'll get to go on enough trips once you're on the team. So don't worry about it." He didn't go on any visits except for one. He went, well, OSU, he went to just tour their locker room and he went to UCLA because it was spring break and we went to Los Angeles. But other than that, I said, you know, it's a powerhouse school. It's right here in your backyard. You have a relationship. I can go to all your games. Why wouldn't you go? Your parents graduated from there. Your uncles went to school there, played football there. And so did your dad. So it's just kind of a fit, right?
It was a perfect fit. What position did they recruit him as?
They recruited him at wide receiver. At first, they offered him the safety guy because the receiver coach at the time, he liked tall, like California style receivers, which are taller. And Sterling's not, you know, he's 5'10 plus. And so I think he wasn't real high on it. And the safety coach wanted to recruit him. And he said, "I will go out of state before I play safety. I'm playing receiver."
It's the same thing with Dawn Elliott. You know, when Ezekiel went and toured Notre Dame, they wanted to get him as a safety. He was like, "I have no safety." Could you imagine Ezekiel Elliott playing safety?
No, he's too big.
Okay, exactly why.
Yeah. And so Sterling's like, "Nope." And he said, "I won't go to OSU, you know, because that is the rival school. So I wouldn't insult them like that. But I would go out of state before, you know, I changed my position." And so it worked out. I can remember going to move him into the dorms and he was like shooing me away, getting his key back like, "Bye."
Were you ever concerned because with Derek, you know, health issue, did you ever have that concern for Sterling as he played football?
I did. And so before I got him too entrenched in football, I had some genetic testing done and they said, I think it's a long QT syndrome that they thought Derek had. And I guess between your heartbeats, there's a space. And so I had him tested and they said he didn't have the same genetic makeup. So that gave me some reassurance, like it was okay. And then I just came to terms with it. I thought that's part of his DNA. He loves football. And to deny him that, for what reason? And the same is true when it comes to injuries now. I have to say, this is what he loves to do and just accept it. Any injuries, concussions, whatever it is, I just have to be more accepting of it, because he wouldn't be the person he is if he was denied that. And I mean, I feel like God gave him that talent and that gift. And so God will let him use it, right? And who am I to sit here and second guess it? I mean, I just pray and I'm there cheering him on. And that's how I felt about the heart issue. At least I had, you know, some science behind it to say that he didn't have the same syndrome his dad had.
Don't go anywhere, because there's more from Sherry coming right up. If you're looking for a way to keep your brain sharp, have some fun, and give yourself a break from mindlessly scrolling through social media, check out Word Forest. It's my new favorite game, and lately I've been using it to help me level up my focus. Word Forest is a word puzzle app, kind of like a word search where you find hidden word matches. The more you find, the more bonus coins you earn, which all helps you as you progress through the levels. Because trust me, this game gets harder as you progress, which is a good thing. There are over 2,000 levels, so there are plenty of word games for you to challenge yourself with. And I love a challenge. I keep finding myself coming back to the game and getting totally competitive with myself. I actually find it quite relaxing. Right now, Word Forest is offering you 2,500 coins and 500 gems when you download and play. Just go to the Apple or Google Store and search for Word Forest. Download Word Forest for free today and get ready to flex your brain muscles.
You know, we'll get to more into injury a little later, but I want to talk about a little bit, you know, when I read that you and the girls were at all of his games except for one. And that just resonated so strongly with me, because I remember Eli's redshirt year. From his redshirt year to the day he left, we went to every game except for the game when they went and played Cal, you know, because it was his redshirt year. And it's like we didn't have the expenses to be able to fly to California for that. But I know for us, it was so important to be there and support it. Why was it so important for you and the girls to be at his games?
You know, I think every kid, no matter what they're doing, if they're in a dance recital, they want their mom, their dad there. They want somebody there cheering them on. And so I felt like we needed to be there to support him. And then we're that friendly face in the crowd, right? But then also there is the other part. We talk about injuries. And as a parent, if anything were to happen, I always wanted to be there. So it was two reasons: support and support if something were to happen. And it's good even from just a family perspective, like it builds memories. So we have memories of road trips, because a lot of great games were within driving distance. And so me and the girls hit the road in our Sooner gear. And so we have lots of fun memories on all those games over the years.
And I think it's definitely what Derek, you know, would have wanted. But I love when I saw that when he graduated from Oklahoma, the gift you gave him was Derek's championship ring. Tell me, how was that when you were able to give him his dad's ring?
I'll be honest. So I keep like all of his stuff, you know, in a lockbox somewhere. And I really don't go and look at it often. But I thought, you know, it's a championship ring and we are playing for the championship this year, hopefully. And so I thought it was like a carrot, you know, I'll dangle this in his face. And he graduated in December and the games in January. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going to give him this ring and that's going to motivate them and they're going to win the championship. It couldn't have been further from the truth, but it was a good effort.
But you had it all written though. You had it all written.
Yeah, I had it all written. So like the perfect ending to his college career. And I can remember thinking, we lost, you know, and we're not going to go on to the championship game. And although I had told the agents to be there just in case, I really didn't expect us to lose. And it was so deflating to think college football ended a week earlier than we expected. And, you know, I have withdrawals every year when football season ends. Like, what am I going to do with myself? I have to reinvent myself, because it's like
you have weekend plans, right?
Yeah.
That's what people don't understand. It's like when football season's over, like we need an off season. We're like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Because every weekend, I always used to tell friends, I was like, listen, during football season, don't get married. Don't have a baby because I'm not coming to your wedding or your baby shower.
I know. It's really tough. I had a friend ask me about, you know, what are you going to do? This thing happens on a Sunday. Well, I'm so sorry. I won't be able to attend. I have plans in the fall on Sundays.
I am booked until March.
Yes.
So tell me about when Sterling finally decided, okay, he was ready to go pro. Were there any teams that you had in mind you were hoping would draft him? What was that whole process like for you? Because, I mean, just in full disclosure, our sons play rookie year, a couple of years together. They were drafted in together by the Giants. But go ahead.
My first thought was I didn't have really a preference. Obviously, I wanted him to be close to home so I could go to the games, right? And I never even thought about New York. I remember briefly thinking about it and I dismissed it because I thought that's too far from home. Surely they draft him. And so when it happened, I was really surprised. And his agent, that's New York. And I was thinking, New York? I mean, it was almost like that Pace Picante commercial. New York City? I mean, thinking, my baby in the big city? And it was just the furthest thing from my mind. I thought Dallas. And really, you start to think about the teams who've reached out. So I thought he the Panthers. I had no idea because we had never talked to them. It was a surprise. But then I have my grandbabies, and I think it was fate. Like, it was meant to happen that way so he could meet his wife and I could have these beautiful grandbabies.
And I'm telling, before we get to Chanel in a minute, how just crazy it's just the rookie year. You know, our boys went through like two different coaches and just the whole transition. How did you help him manage your transition from college to the pros? And not just any pros, but New York City, where the media just like parallel parks on Drama Avenue and make-believe street.
Yes, and he's really grounded. He adjusted. He had a good attitude. He was happy to go to New York. But my concern was he's in this big place. He's trying to focus on his career. And there are other things that need to happen to keep things running, like in your, you know, behind the scenes. And so I sent my daughter, my oldest daughter, I said, you have to go with your brother this first year and help him get settled and situated. And if he needs somebody to do business things, like go to the bank, whatever, grocery shop, to take care of the house and keep it running. Because I thought, I don't want to give an opportunity for some girl to squeeze in and try to be helpful. And so I sent my daughter, and she did an excellent job of just keeping things running. And like, you know, the rookies have to take snacks into the team room.
Don't even get me started on that rookie year. It wasn't just snacks they were taking. Okay. All the nonsense.
Lots of nonsense.
Oh my God. This and that and get this and get that. And I'm just like, are you serious? But Ashley, I mean, is beautiful, smart, just... You have great daughters, Ashley and Shelby, both of them. So him having Ashley there, I know, is such a... Because she's so even keel. She's smart. She's not impressed with anything. She's pretty focused. So it's good to have that balance as your sister, you know, and assistant.
Yeah. And she just would tell me, like, anything that was going on in the house, he just calls her, what does he call her? Snitch a lot. So I'm always connected. She still
the
does
in-house
that.
Snitch. Well, yeah. Good snitch. She's a fairy snitch. You know what I mean? The good fairy. She's the...
That's what she says. I do it for their own good. So she snitches on... She... Is their social media. And Sterling's really good. He manages his. But the little sister, she tells on everybody.
So now I was blessed to be at this wedding with Sterling and Chanel, which was just beyond beautiful. It was just gorgeous, right? So I've gotten a chance to hear the story about how they met. But from your view, when did Sterling call you and tell you he had met this woman? And what was your, like, what were you like? Chanel Iman is a Victoria's Secret model. So let's put it out there.
Ashley was with him at this party where he crossed paths with Chanel. So she's texting me, Mom,
Sterling's talking to Chanel Amon, the supermodel. And I said, really? She said, he didn't know who she was. And I said, really? And she said, I think she likes him. She's following him around. Like, she's holding hands with him. I was like, really? And so she said, yeah. And so then the next day, I think he had a Nike event. And so he had to sign autographs in a Nike store. And Chanel pops up. So she's asked, like, her agent or somewhere. She found out he would be there. And so Ashley sees her there. And she says, hi. And she comes over and hugs Ashley. And Ashley just thought it was a coincidence. But, you know, she had done some research. And Sterling said, I have her number. So it was like 2 days later. Sterling said, she gave me her number, but I haven't called her yet. And I said, Sterling, girls usually want you to call. I mean, she's probably wondering why you haven't called her. You should give her a call. And he said, after the first day, like, it was history. He knew.
I just love the way Ashley live snitch. Like, she tells you while it's happening.
She's texting me. They are walking around holding hands.
Before we get to more of Sterling's professional life, I got to ask you this. Whose idea was it for you to go on a Steve Harvey dating show? Tell me about that.
It was not my idea, but I went along for the ride. So it really wasn't Sterling's. The way it works is they're looking for content. So they called the agency and said, is Sterling's mom single? And the agent called me and said, Sherry, do you want to go on Steve Harvey? And I said, the likelihood of me finding a man on Steve Harvey is slim. He said, it's for fun. Just think of it as something fun to do. And I said, when you reframe it and you think about it that way, and I accepted the offer and I went.
And how was that experience?
It was fun. I made it into a girls trip. I was like, hey, and one of my girlfriends lives in California. So I was like, hey, come to the show. And it was fine. It was fun and all in fun. And I did not go on the date with the guy.
You did not?
No, I didn't. And they told me you cannot, you have to select somebody, you know, you have to be nice. So I selected somebody and all of those guys were nice, but I didn't really think, you know, it was going to be a good situation.
They weren't the one. So you've been single for more than 20 years. So how is it now dating for you having a son in the NFL? Is that intimidating? I know now single, There are people that I just won't even think about dating. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's a different life.
It is a different life. And I will say, like, when I meet someone and then they are overly impressed with what my son does, or they have too much to say about it, like, oh, I really wanted him to go here. Like, they've been following him. Then it kind of creeps me out.
But he doesn't have Jerry curl down.
I don't want to be involved with him. Yeah, he don't have a jigger. Most of them are bald headed now. And that's fine. I like bald headed men, but I mean, they don't have any hair, but in 50s. So, but they always seem like they're too impressed by it. And I would just rather somebody not be, you know?
And he got to be able to know how to fight, because that's important to Sterling.
That is. He can probably fight his own battles, but I want somebody to fight in case, you know, I need someone to protect me.
Yeah, especially if you go into the Eagles game and you're Giants in gear, you need a man who's going to be able to take on some drunk fans.
And I don't know about you, Annie, but do you ever have any fans? Like, do you ever have any run-ins with fans? Because I've had a couple.
I did. It was in D.C., the two places, and I grew up, I went to high school and college in Philadelphia, but the two places I had incidents with fans were in DC and in Philadelphia. Well, DC thing, I literally walked in there. You know, you're wearing your son's, I'm never going to go to a game where I can't wear my son's jersey. Oh, because we're all adults here to watch a game. Like, we're
you know, there's an opposing team. And, so do you think they don't have fans too?
Exactly. And travel on 95. So I walk in there and this guy had a straw or something and he blew something at me. And literally, like, it hit me, I think, in my head or something. And, you know, it was one of those things where you had to sit and quietly talk and listen to the voice in your head. Because I was like, I need to just keep walking. Because almost God was like, keep walking. Because if I stop and gotten, you know, people just don't know. Don't underestimate a 5'1 woman.
I know.
That's the sad part about the sport. It's like, we're all here. We know we're here for the enjoyment. Win or lose, like, still act like you weren't raised on a darn tree in the middle of nowhere. You know, some maturity and some decency and respect. That's what's missing in the fan experience.
That's true. And I have a confession to make. My kids, my girls have named me Stadium Stacy. So when the fans are acting up, I text that number and their seat number and I'll report. And then the security will come and get him. And the first time it happened, this lady was smoking and I'm allergic to smoke. So I reported her, but the security guy comes and she's acting out, you know, like, what did I do? And so Ashley's like, wonder what happened? Who told on her? Finally, I about cracked up and I had to admit it was me. So now I've done it.
Good for you. I didn't even know that existed. Let's get back to his professional life. What's the most challenging part, though, for you about the professional life?
This is true. Even when my husband played, I know it's a business and, you know, I'm a human resources person. So people are important to me. And I think that piece is missing, like caring about the whole person, more about the game and what can you do for me right now and not the whole person.
And, you know, it's amazing, you bring that up because I know you're in human resources, but this past Super Bowl week, you know, I got invited to an event that Roger Goodell and the NFL were having for organizations that work with domestic violence and sex trafficking. So while we were there afterwards, you know, I always get a moment to chat with him. And normally, you know, Roger, Commissioner and I, we talked about this. And I said, you know, our sons in high school didn't have after school jobs because football was, it was practice, practice, practice. It was training, training, training. In college, they work, but they don't get paid. So honestly, our son's first jobs is the NFL. Could you imagine? My first job was, other than selling candy when I was 12, was my official first job was at 14 selling shoes at Easy Pickings. That's when I realized women wore size 11 shoes, but that's another story.
My first job was shoes too. I worked at Tom McCann Shoes.
But our boys never get that experience.
That's true.
It's important. But let's get to, I think for me, the injury aspect of it. First time in what was it, 2019 season opener against the Cowboys, Sterling suffered a concussion. And the second time this past season, it was a game against the Vikings in October. And also, I think, reported head injuries, concussion in high school. How does it, first of all, as a mom, you feel when you see him go down?
I'll be honest, I didn't notice those injuries on the field because he kept playing. So I didn't see any indication that he was hurt until after the game. You know, I could tell he was a little bit dazed. And so I didn't experience it, but I've seen him be hurt in high school. And it's like your heart stops. Anytime he does anything that I think he's going to be hurt, I'm hurt, physically hurt. And so it's like, it's just a part of you, right? And it's an extension of you. Yep. I want him to have a long career, just healthy life. I don't want any debilitating injuries from this. It is something that he loves and I have to accept it and support him through it. But I want him to come out of it clean, you know?
But as a family, how do you guys discuss concussions though and the effects of it? Is that something that really concerns you? So you were like, listen, you know,
we avoid it, Annie. Look, we avoid it. It's like,
really?
Yeah, you know that movie Concussions? We won't watch it. Nobody's watched it with Will Smith. I won't watch it. The girls won't watch it. He won't watch it. Now, what we did do is we went to a specialist in Pennsylvania, and the specialist gave us some reassurance that the type of concussion that he suffered does not have any long-term effects. And so he is like, you know, one of the best specialists in the United States. So I have to put some weight on that. He explained to me, I talked to him personally. He talked about the different types of concussions. And he said, this particular concussion that he suffered with his your equilibrium's off. He said, that's not going to have any long-term impacts. And he explained the differences and why. And so I have to, you know, he has credibility and I trust what he said. It made sense.
In the in-between time, you avoid that conversation in that movie.
Yeah, there's no way I could watch Concussion. Everybody's like, it's a good movie. I was like, no, I don't want to watch it. And so we don't talk about it. But, you know, in the moment when it happened, we did consult the right professional and got advice. And I feel good about it going forward.
Even with all the different dangers and different concerns, what is the most rewarding part about watching Sterling do what he loves to do with the New York Football Giants?
Is exactly that, seeing him do exactly what he loves. And we talk about life after football. And he said, Mom, if I would miss the camaraderie, like my friends and the friendships that he forms. And not many people get to do their dream job. This child has dreamed about football since he was a little boy. And to see that come and it's a reality, it warms my heart. Mm-hmm.
What a fun and fulfilling conversation with Sherry Shepherd. Sherry is not the kind of person to allow anything in life to keep her down. She's direct, she's straight to the point, and that's how football moms have to be. We know the world is not going to be kind to our sons, so we love them honestly and we love them loudly. I appreciated Sherry's candor about Sterling's concussions and how they as a family just don't talk about it. That may seem strange to some, but that's how they as a family handle the reality of football. She's talked to the experts and she's at peace with the information she has received. The Shepherds have always handled the harsh realities of life as a family. Which leads me to today's Annie's Clapback. The Shepherds were able to draw even closer together as a family and were able to support one another during that time of crisis. Now, as we continue to come out of this COVID-19 pandemic, I'd like to address the family still struggling financially and emotionally. First, I'd like to address the parents. Parents, please show yourselves some grace. You're doing the best you can. So continue to use this time to connect with your kids and create memories you'll cherish a lifetime. And to the kids and the families that are struggling financially, the children who for the first time are witnessing mom and dad stress about money and financial safety, the kids whose parents have to go to food banks or get help from family and friends. If you're one of those kids, please don't look down on your parents or even on yourself. Financial status is never a validation of human value. Learning to define yourself by compassion and not cash is an unmatched life skill. Poverty is real and not having enough money to buy food is real. But I always remember my mom said, poverty is not about what you don't have. Poverty is what you don't know you have. And if you have a loving and supportive family, honestly, you have everything. And as always, thanks so much for listening. Raising a Pro is part of the Audio Boom Originals Network. And if you're feeling this podcast, please make sure you rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Also, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your shows. I'll be back next week with a very special guest to kick off Black History Month. See you next time, family.